Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, basketball fans, football fans, you are tuned in to the greatest basketball podcast in the history of Earth, mankind, Walrus Dolphins, and Bill Nye the Science Guy. Thunder Chats is the show that I'm the host of. You're tuned in to Stat Chasers.
Stat Chasers.
Woo! Let that run, because this is like take 43. Of this podcast, and it's getting late. So we're going to be joined today by the host of Raptors Rundown. He's a Miami Dolphins fan. He is on cloud nine right now with his football team success. He is the Canadian Stu Gardner. Stu, what's crack like, man?
Dylan, I'm just going to put myself on, let's say, 7, given the fact that the New York Jets are currently up 48-17 against the Detroit Lions. But outside of that, I'm doing great. So it's great to be on this podcast again with additional guest, Matty Malls.
Hey, what's going on, everybody?
Not a lot, man. You know, just going through take 43 of this podcast. The Jets have scored 7 more points since we last recorded a take. So it's a great Monday night. Matty, we've been without you for about a week and a half or so, man. All right. How excited are you to be back?
Oh, I'm very excited to be back. Had some family stuff that we were working through. Nothing bad, just some stuff that we needed to take care of. More to come on that later. Not in this podcast, but potentially down the line. But, man, all is good in the world. I spent the weekend, about 20-plus hours of it, watching football. It's officially back. And my fantasy goodness is also back. So I'm very excited for the season and to hopefully win some people some money as we move forward. So
there you go.
To chime in on Maddie's fantasy goodness, I just want to say, if you do daily fantasy and you're upset with your performance, you need to tune into the Maddie Mulls podcast tomorrow. Honestly, and listen to what he has to say, because you don't want to end up like me and just a perennial loser. So, tune in.
Don't sell yourself so short, Stu. All right. Well, fellas, it's football weekend, but we are predominantly a basketball podcast. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've had guests on the past couple weeks. Talked about the Nuggets with Trevin. Talked about the Lakers with Trevin. Talked about the Nuggets with Richard Kimball. I guess I should say Trevin's last name's Holland. You know, there's probably a few more Trevins in the world. But, yeah, now it's, you know, we finally got the band back together. We're a full unit. So let's get into the NBA news. Let's see. First thing that happened, this happened sometime last week. The Rockets made a blockbuster trade, but it was a pretty significant trade. There were some names that a lot of people know in this trade the Rockets had with the Phoenix Suns. The Phoenix Suns receive Ryan Anderson and his contract and D'Anthony Melton. And then the Rockets receive from the Suns Marquese Chris and Brandon Knight. Matty Moles, what are your initial thoughts on this trade?
Maury did it again. I don't know why people continue to do trades with the Rockets. But people would probably say the same thing about Sam Presti.
Masai Ujiri, just chiming that in.
True. And we could talk about some potential Kawhi Leonard news a little bit later in this little segment. I think getting out from underneath that monumental contract that was the Ryan Anderson contract that they've been basically trying to move for 2 seasons now, that really does nothing to help the Suns, right? That is, if anything, that removed a potential trading piece if Knight does look better and could be a contributing piece on a team that's pushing for the playoffs. There's no way they're going to move Ryan Anderson, right? He's pretty much, he's stuck on their squad. Mm-hmm. And that's what are you really doing that for? Are you trying to do that for spacing? And you're just going to try to let Ayton do work underneath? I don't see how there's a quality fit there with the other pieces that they have. Especially thinking that, you know, how they had Jackson and they brought in, who was it? They brought in Ariza in the offseason. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And thinking that they're going to go small with Ayton playing the five. And now you're going to bring Anderson in and he's basically a slow four. That all he does is shoot threes. It's hard to see what their identity is going to be for the Suns. So I don't understand why they did that, but I see why the Rockets did it. And it's really allowing them further depth on their roster, which they seem to always have an overabundance of. And it's really, Dylan, you said that Knight is going to be your comeback player or most improved player candidate for this season. Well, if Chris Paul gets hurt again, they want to be able to have an adequate replacement to come step in alongside James Harden, and a lot of production wouldn't fall off. Well, they have that now if Knight is who we think he could be potentially. So it was a great win for the Rockets and a real head scratcher for the Suns.
Stu, what do you know about D'Anthony Melton, the main piece the Suns are getting back of relevance?
I know – I apologize for this. I know virtually nothing about D'Anthony Melton. On the trade as a whole, I'm going to disagree with Maddie a bit in that I think prior to the next piece of news that we're hitting, it made a fair bit of sense in terms of I think the Suns wanted to go a little bit win now, and they wanted to see what they could do with a more advanced lineup. And then obviously Devin Booker had his injury concerns / issues, which happened. That said, I am with Maddie, where even when I saw the trade initially, it was kind of like, oh, that makes a lot of sense for the Suns because they free up a ton of salary and what they get back. They free up roughly, give or take, let me double check here, roughly $11 million in salary, give or take, with what happens with options and whatnot. But it's outside of that. It's an interesting move for both teams, but I would say it's a far more positive move if you're a Rockets fan versus a Suns fan.
Yeah.
I have a Dylan, if it's okay, after this second piece of news, I have a small rant on the Suns, actually.
Okay. Are you going in on it right now?
No, it's go ahead. You explain this next piece, and then I have news.
Okay, I got you. Well, I was just going to say the trade doesn't do much for me. You know, I think Brandon Knight could be a nice player, being a six-man type player. But if you look at the Rockets and their makeup right now, Brandon Knight's not going to contribute defensively. What he can contribute is offensively. And if you look at the Rockets roster right now, they already have Eric Gordon as that six-man spot. So, you know, Brandon Knight, I kind of feel like he's going to get lost in the shuffle a little bit. So, I mean, it's always good to have another three-point shooter coming off the bench. I mean, you can never have enough shooting in the league. Marquise Chris, you know, he's a young, athletic guy. He's got some defensive potential. Hasn't really put it all together offensively. So, you know, maybe he'll turn out to help him. But, yeah, with the Suns, I just don't know, man. You know, I just looked at the contract again. Ryan Anderson is supposed to make $20 million this year, $21 million next year. Like, $41 million, and he's probably not even going to see the court. I mean, it's kind of ridiculous.
Likely he's playing behind Melo, right?
Ryan Anderson?
Yeah.
Well, he's at Phoenix now.
Oh, man, I'm confused. My bad. No, sorry. Rather, but likely he's still playing behind a couple guys, probably behind Bender. depending on how small they want to run behind Chandler, maybe.
Yeah.
Definitely behind eight, either way.
Mm-hmm. It'd be interesting to see what they do with him. I mean, if they don't care that he doesn't play defense, you know, they try to just funnel his guy into Aiton and Chandler, then, you know, maybe they just bring him out there to, you know, space the floor and be a three-point shooter. But I don't know, man. It's a head-scratcher. The thing that bothers me, I'm going to go on a – actually, I'll save it for the next piece of Rockets news that we get to. But first, we got some Sun news. And, Stu, you said you had some take on that, so you want to go ahead and tee it off, man? Stu?
Oh, my bad. Yeah, I can tee it off. I got this. let's talk about Devin Booker. Was ruled out indefinitely, quote-unquote, which we all know, I would say, at this point in the year, means for the season. And the team is just uncomfortable saying that because they still got season tickets to sell. But yeah, so Devin Booker ruled out indefinitely with a hand injury that some people are saying is connected to the Instagram video that he sent out of himself riding a bike with no hands, which I'm just going to chime in real quickly and say probably/definitely not on that, in that the team, it would be a Monte Scooter situation a couple years ago, wherein the team would be filing a grievance if he had hurt himself in a situation, in particular one such as riding a bike with no hands. That said, I got some things to say about the Suns and what they've done with Ariza and what they were trying to do with Anderson, which is, and it's for both of you, you guys can chime in on this. Why are the Suns signing win now guys and trading for win now guys in Randerson and Ariza? Like, they're clearly a team that is bare minimum, I would say, 3 to 4 years from playoff contention.
I would say lack of self-awareness.
And that is what it feels like to me. Is that it seems like they think they're closer than they are. And obviously, if you're a Suns fan, this Booker injury is a giant setback, no matter where you were thinking you would finish. Even outside of that, though.
To chime Suns in a little bit. Management, oh, go ahead.
Does not inspire confidence for me.
All right. Hey, to chime in a little bit. Breaking news. By breaking news, I mean from Sean Sharanya. And from Sham Sharanya, I mean a tweet 4 hours ago.
A sham slam.
Yeah, he said, Suns guard Devin Booker underwent surgery to repair his injury to the fifth metacarpophalangeal, a big long word, in his right hand, and will approximately miss 6 weeks.
So that's, correct me if I'm wrong, but please don't, because I'm trying to sound smart for everybody else who's listening, is I believe that's the middle bone in your pinky finger. Unless I'm mistaken.
Go ahead with me. I have no idea.
Well, I think it matters what hand. What hand is it on?
Right.
Yeah, it would be your pinky then. Yeah. And it's that bone, I think, like in the palm. So maybe.
Which
I may be wrong too. So
with a shooter, definitely not an area you would like to get hurt. That said, I'm sure there's a ton of guys who have recovered from that and have been fine, the NBA being the way it is. My concern, if I was a Phoenix Suns fan, again, you make all these moves, you get Ryan Anderson, you get Trevor Ariza, and now your starting point guard is who? Alfred Payton is gone. Like,
yeah, who is their starting point guard? Because they trade away Knight, and, you know, I was big on Knight being the new starting point guard. Let's see here. Let's take Gander. Looks like Well, there's talk that they might give D'Anthony Melton some run at that starting point guard spot just to kind of let him grow and develop.
But, which is, I mean, Melton is – his G League stats are fine, and he's been a fine player up until now. But if you're making the moves the Suns have made, that's not who you want as your starting point guard.
Yeah. Eli Okobo? Maybe?
Yeah.
Oh, same statement, but more so. Okobo is – I like Okobo. He's solid defensively, but he is shaky outside of that.
Yeah, then they got Isaiah Cannon, who he's coming off of an injury as well. So, there's a lot of turmoil in Phoenix, but
– Well, Phoenix, they could drop Josh Jackson down to the two – to cover down for that if they needed to.
Yeah, but Booker can run some one if he absolutely needed to.
Well, but this is the problem, is Booker's not running anything.
For yeah. 6 weeks, you're right.
So they'll probably run like Kanan and Okobo, and then they could probably drop down Josh Jackson to the two, play Ariza and Warren at the three and the four. And then Ayton at the five.
You got Michael Bridges, too.
They'll be interesting to watch. I think they'll do a lot of – it's similar to 2 years ago Philadelphia, where I think they'll do a lot of interesting stuff on offense where you want to tune in as a viewer just to kind of see what they're doing. But I also feel as though win-loss record, they will be totally inept. And – what they've given up to acquire Rhino and Ariza and stuff, it doesn't seem like what they were shooting for.
All right. On the Rocket side of that trade that we was talking about, I'm not going to spend too much time on it because I think I have a potential tongue-in-cheek on this topic. But Daryl Morey tweeted today, if I can pull it up. Wow, internet, thank you. Oh, did he really delete it? What the heck? All right, anyways, Daryl Morey did tweet today. He tweeted a picture with Corey Brewer, and he says, here it is. Oh, it was on Instagram. He said, brewing up something with, and he tagged Corey Brewer. And, of course, Corey Brewer's got a signature amazing smile. And so what does that tell you guys?
Well, obviously, I mean, I don't know if I've come out on this podcast or maybe any podcast. I think D-Hunt may be the first one that you get together if you guys really feel like running that on Game Takes almost 8 months ago. But it's been a while, D-Hunt.
Yeah.
So it's think about how much of your life you've wasted talking to me. but no, it's... I'm not a Corey Brewer fan. It's when he was on the Nuggets, and I was a quasi-Nuggets fan, I watched him shoot his way out of a playoff game at one point, and it just kind of stuck with me. That said, Brewer for Houston is a Trevor Ariza replacement, is what they would see him as. And he's not as good as Ariza. I think we can all agree on that. T-Hunt, he's not on Thunder anymore. Come on, he's up.
Yeah, no. I'm not disagreeing with you, man. I'm not going to go in on this too long, but I just think it's hilarious how you lose two guys in the defensive caliber of Trevor Ariza and Luka Karambamute. You replace them with Carmelo Anthony, James Ennis, Marquise Chris, and now potentially Corey Brewer, and people are like, oh, Morey doesn't get in Rockets winning the championship for beating the Warriors. And they're talking about how Brandon Knight's going to be better than Dennis Schroeder. Like, just stop it, man. Like, get out of here.
I'm not going to slag James Ennis too hard on this. I think James Ennis is a good piece and a very solid defender for his position. And offensively, him and Ariza are pretty close, in my opinion. And I feel free to chirp me on that, various denizens of the internet. But Corey Brewer is, in my opinion, and I have two Thunder fans on this podcast, actually, so they can chime in on this. I would say at his best, he's an X on offense. He doesn't take anything away, and he doesn't give you anything. And that's very different from Ariza, who's a very solid 3-and-D guy. So we'll wait and see. I wouldn't be floored if the Rockets take a bit of a step back defensively this season.
Well, speaking of the Thunder, like that segue there, speaking of the Thunder, a jersey recently released today of potentially the new city jersey. It was by Red Earth Inc. on Twitter. And just to describe it a little bit, it's like a turquoise with orange outline on the letters. It's a Native American style, especially on the waistband and down the shorts. So, and you know, that reflects a little bit on Oklahoma City's Native American culture. So, overall, I really like the jersey. A lot of people was really cold on OKC City jersey last year. I saw somebody compare it to a stick of deodorant. So, obviously, I'll get to Maddie in a second, but Stu, from an outsider's perspective, what do you think about OKC's jersey? Just quickly.
Just quickly? Fine. immediately, what it jumps up as is it reminds me of a Vancouver Grizzlies jersey when they had the Haida Gwaii, Native Peoples inspired jersey that had the totem poles up the piping and such. And it was a great jersey. And this OKC jersey, same deal to me. I think it's a beautiful jersey. I think it's great how it touches in on the state and the city's Native American heritage. And I will say I'm one of the people who definitely came down on OKC City jersey last year. I didn't love it. And they miles ahead this year. It looks amazing. Great job on them, on their part.
All right, Maddie, chiming in as another Thunder fan, what are your thoughts on this jersey?
I initially saw it, and it took me a minute to really understand exactly what I was looking at. The font looks different. The numbers do look similar to what we've been used to. But the blue, I love the blue. It matches the Oklahoma State flag blue. Mm-hmm. There's a sash that goes across the from, if you're looking at the jersey directly, from the top right down to the bottom left of the jersey itself. There's a sash, and that plays to the heritage as well. I think that it was very tastefully done. I wish I could see what the back looks like with the lettering of, like, say, a Westbrook or something. But I think the shorts, from what I could see, look very clean. There's a lot going on, but it doesn't seem too busy to me. I think they did a job well done on it.
There we go.
Dylan, if I could chime in on a, cause my initial reaction to it was exactly the same as, my initial reaction to the Raptors Drake Knight jerseys when they first brought them, where I was a little concerned that they would be over the top and they would look a little too busy. And whoever the jersey people are for OKC or for Toronto, they did an exceptional job in making it look. It still looks like an NBA jersey, and it pays attention to the heritage that they were trying to. I'm a huge fan of it. I think they did an exceptional job.
Well, speaking of Toronto,
oh, here we go.
Peter Yanopoulos, I butchered that name.
Yiannopoulos,
okay. It was more simpler than I was making it. Tweeted that Kawhi Leonard has bought, in parentheses, not rented, a new home in Toronto's. Good news for the Raptors. Stu is a Raptors fan. How hyped does this make you on a scale of 1 to 10?
I'm trying to control it. And what I've heard from a lot of people who are more glass half empty than I am is that it's a real estate investment for Kawhi, which is not, it's not incorrect. I mean, in 2 years, that's, you're looking at a, probably thinking doubling in value in Toronto right now.
Ugh.
That said, he's an NBA player. It's doubling in value as he'll make like a couple $100,000, which is, I mean, for any of us three, life-changing money. But for an NBA player, is 30%, especially Kawhi Leonard, is what, 30% of your paycheck? Like, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
So, personally, I am, again, mitigating my excitement, but that is terrifically good news. And it shows a willingness to commit to me, which is very important as a Toronto fan and as, like, because our concern is Kawhi only here for a year or not? And this kind of confirms that he's at least considering being here for longer than that.
For sure. I mean, hey, it definitely makes you feel a little bit better about it.
I think Kawhi listened to our podcast and listened to Stu make all the valuable points. And he was like, you know what? I gotta get a real estate agent on the phone stat.
Listen, I didn't want to take credit for it. I was trying to be humble, but you're not wrong. And I definitely, if he re-signs, I just think that the Raptors in general should send me a game check or something, you know, just for posterity's sake.
I would say they could have Kawhi on your podcast, but he wouldn't say much.
Yeah, I don't really need to fill that much airtime. I already need you as a host.
Hey, we could give his uncle all the airtime he wants, right?
Oh, God. All right, boys. Well, we got to do an obligatory mention of the Timberwolves are getting back together, man. Tibbs is assembling his Bulls team of old. Already had Derrick Rose, already had Taj Gibson, already have Jimmy Butler. But Luol Deng has now signed with the Minnesota Timberwolves for a one-year vet minimum. What do you think, boys? You think he's going to complete it? Think he gets Joakim Noah and completes that starting lineup?
What's Kirk Heinrich doing these days?
Oh, God.
I really need another point guard to just wear a cat suit under his uniform. That was real classic.
To be honest, I think there's an equal chance of Noah donning a Thunder jersey than there is a Bulls jersey.
Boo.
Or a Timberwolves jersey, I mean.
Yeah.
I think that Noah's connection to Donovan is just as strong as Tibbs, so.
That's fair. That's fair. And as much as I hate to say it, you're probably right. I wouldn't be shocked. Having Noel on the team, though, that does make me feel a little bit better about it. What was I going to say? Shoot.
I'm going to change him a great deal, especially...
Sorry about that.
I was like, what the heck was that?
Listen, I'm not going to do this podcast without also streaming an NFL game. It's Rams-Raiders, and I'm really trying to watch Jay Gruden get fired once in a 10-year, $100 million contract. So, but outside of that, if I could comment on the Timberwolves.
Talk about them.
Briefly. And that is, I'll be honest with you too. I don't think Tibbs was ever a good coach. I think Tibbs was a mediocre coach who was blessed with a ton of talent on those early Bulls teams. And I think he's trying to recreate that with a group of guys who don't buy into what he's talking about. And go ahead, Dylan. Sorry.
No, I was just saying, you took the words right out of my mouth, man. You know, I mean, you got – obviously, I think that Jimmy reflects what Tibbs feels. But Jimmy can say it because he's a franchise player and Tibbs is an expendable head coach. And so I think Tibbs is, you know, he found something that works in Chicago, a group of guys that bought into what he was trying to do, and he's trying to bring that back so the younger guys that aren't buying in, a la Carl Towns, a la Andrew Wiggins, you know, they'll kind of see that and then they'll follow suit. So I definitely see what you're saying, and I don't think it's far-fetched at all. I think that could honestly be exactly what we're looking at here.
And it's, I don't want to, if you're a Wolves fan, obviously as a Canadian, I wish Andrew Wiggins all the success in the world. And for other reasons that I'll get into in a later podcast at some point, I wish Gorgui Jang more than all the success in the world. He is a weirdly favorite player of mine. Again, for a later podcast at some point. But I think they need a younger and more creative coach to motivate this team than they. Tom Thibodeau, I don't think, has the mentality that's going to get this team going.
All right, man. We're going to jump into one last piece of news. It has been confirmed that Chris Matthews, a.k.a. the Lethal Shooter, has been training with three players: Robert Covington of the Philadelphia 76ers, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist of the, almost said New Orleans, Charlotte Hornets, and Andre Roberson of the Oklahoma City Thunder. Now, Robert Covington, he can shoot it a little bit, but Michael Kidd-Gilchrist and Andre Roberson are two guys that would really benefit from their jump shot and their shot in general just being improved.
That's still kind of polite for how much they could benefit from a shooting coach, but go on.
Maddie, as a Thunder fan, man, what do you hope Lethal Shooter can do to Dre's game?
Man, I think it starts at the line.
Mm-hmm.
So Dre does enough offensively with setting screens and backdoor cuts and hustle plays to still add value when he's not drawing intentional fouls, right? Because teams are intentionally fouling him, giving him the Andre Drummond treatment, and then he, you know, you never know what you're going to get at the stripe. So that's step one, because that means that he can stay out on the floor, not be a liability for us. And then obviously he's one of the most gifted perimeter defenders in the game. So that allows him to be available. And then if he really can improve his form and get him anywhere close to 30% 3-point percentage, I think we'll be in business. And that's not crazy to say, because in 2015, 2016, he shot 31% from three on 1.5 attempts per game. So, and his career average is 1.4. So, honestly, if we can get back up to that 30 range, anything over 31% is gravy. And that's going to be an absolute problem for other teams.
For sure, man. And, you know, just to plug my buddy a little bit, my boy Steve Dolan of Thunderous Intentions, he came on Thunder Chats podcast. Actually, backtrack. Me and another guy, we actually discovered that Lethal Shooter was in OKC, and we was talking about it in a group chat, and then Steven caught wind of it, and he started writing an article about it, and he did some great investigative reporting, like tracking like where they were at certain times between Andre Roberson and Chris Matthews. Like, it was ridiculous. But then he came on the pod, he talked about it, and then of course I tweeted it out. Whenever it was confirmed by Lethal Shooter that he was working with those people. And, you know, he got to post a confirmed article talking about, you know, now that it's confirmed, what could this actually mean for Andre Roberson? So, you know, we tag teamed a little bit there. I got 42 retweets. He got 42,000 reads on his article. So there you go. But, yeah, it's interesting, man. Like you said, it all starts at the line, and I honestly think that is going to be the main thing that he's working on. I don't think he's going to venture out to the 3-point line at this point. a little bit of insider information. I don't know if Steven put this on his article or not, but Lethal Shooter is actually, he's supposed to have a kid sometime this year. And so, you know, there's a lot of question about if Lethal Shooter is trying to sign with the team as a shooting coach. But right now, as you can see, he's working with three players from three different teams. Looks like he's just trying to work with clients to, you know, I mean, obviously bring the money in. But I think he's going to settle down this year, you know, just kind of, you know, raise his kid, be there with his wife as he recovers. And then I wouldn't be surprised if next year he tries to go to a team, because he's been connected with the Thunder. He's been connected with the Sixers. Not so much the Hornets, but yeah, it'll be an interesting journey to watch.
So thought on that, everybody's been watching these videos of the players in the gym, right?
And
playing pickup games and everything else. Man,
how else do you get hype?
Russ's jumper is wet right now.
Right,
like that dude is, and he's hitting it from like deep. And I just wonder if maybe Russ had a conversation with him, and just, you know, maybe was given a few pointers. I don't know Russ's ego like that. But I mean, Russ said it's no secret that that's the number one thing he wanted to improve was his jumper.
Yeah.
Well, the best in the business was working on your teammate. I wonder if there's any correlation between those two. And if so, that definitely has to help our chances for him to get a job with the team moving forward. If Russ signs on, then you're golden.
Yeah, absolutely. If you get Russell Westbrook's co-sign, I mean, it's done and done. I mean, and, you know, to what you said, Russell Westbrook's shot is looking smoother than it has ever looked. So, before we trail off on this being just entirely Thunder, Stu, you got anything else to say about Lethal Shooter before we move on?
Not Lethal Shooter specifically, but I do have something to say on shooting coaches in general, which is when I was I'm 21 now, and working back to when I was 15, 14, I was fortunate enough to work with Dave Love, who is the Orlando Magic shooting coach 2014 to 2018. And I can say the work that I did with him in one summer turned me from, and let's recall this, in small town Alberta basketball, but still, it turned me from probably a 15 point per game scorer to a 25 to 30 point per game scorer.
Dang.
And the amount that a shooting coach can change, Dave Love and I in particular worked a lot on making sure that my motion was smooth all the way, including my legs and my arms and stuff, which was something that I hadn't really thought of up until then. The impact that a good shooting coach can make, you can't really quantify, in my opinion. So if I was a Thunder fan, and with the videos I've seen from Lethal Shooter that touch on a lot of the same stuff that I learned from Dave Love, I'd be very optimistic. Maybe not from the field in general, because that's a big change, but from the line with Roberson, I would be ecstatic. Shooting coach working with, especially one with the resume that a Lethal Shooter does have.
There you go, man. Stu, we got to get you down to the States so we can play some pickup ball, man.
Listen, Dylan, if you want to get, like, 15 threes hit in your face, that's all work my way down, but okay.
I'm saying so we can be on the same team, daggone it, man. Just got to go basketball, man.
If you say so.
Man, everybody want to team up on the Lakers, man. Nobody wants to take it at these cats. Okay.
All right, boys. Well, that was news in the NBA. We covered a lot. But, hey, I mean, we haven't taught news in a couple weeks, so you got to do what you got to do. All right. So, fellas, as we mentioned, this is the first weekend of football season. So naturally, there's a lot of players in the NBA who either have played football or probably could play football. And since it's fantasy season and my team just put up, you know, 213 points, no big deal, we're going to have a little fantasy draft. But obviously we can't draft a defense and special teams because, well, there's 11 guys on there and there's not 11 guys on the court at one time in basketball. So what we're going to do is we're going to do two quarterbacks, three running backs, three wide receivers, a tight end, and for kicks and giggles, we're going to use a kicker. See what I did there?
Very close.
I'm the one supposed to make the dad jokes.
Hey, I had to bring it out, man. Had to bring it out. All right, so this is what we're going to do. Me being the host, I'm just going to go ahead and not take number one pick. I'm going to take the number two pick. I'm going to think of a number in my head between 1 and 10. Whoever gets closest gets number one pick.
Ooh.
7.
3.
The number was 8. So, Stu's Maddie, you'll pick back-to-back on 3.
Okay.
All right, remember, when you draft a player, designate what position he will play and briefly explain why you have him there.
Okay, well, number one overall, and this is an easy pick for anyone who's an NBA fan, is I'm going to put LeBron at tight end because we've all seen LeBron. We all know where he's at physically, so that's not a shocker.
All right. LeBron James, number one at tight end. All right. I will take Russell Westbrook at quarterback.
Ooh.
This is a guy who I think can be a lot like a certain Cam Newton out there, a guy that can also not only distribute the ball, but can get you some points running the football as well. And, you know, you don't think about it because it's NBA and NFL, but Russ and Cam Newton are about the same height. So, there you go.
Interesting.
Matty Moore's got two, man.
So, this is going to be kind of an interesting pick. I'm going to take Kevin Love at quarterback.
Oh.
No, I like that.
Because that dude can straight up throw dimes.
those passes, it's nasty.
Yeah, I mean, he's super solid. And then at wide receiver, I'm going to take Giannis Antetokounmpo because he's got a great frame and he's got room to grow into it. And I like the love to freak connection.
That's beautiful, man. That is absolutely beautiful. All right. Well, I got to get some length on my receiver core. So I'm going to take the first BBM pick of the draft. Anthony Davis, with Anthony Davis running on the outside, you know, he's fast, he's long, he's athletic. Russ just has to throw the ball up in the air, and AD is going to go get it.
All right, and for me, at QB1, no shocker to any NBA fan, I'm going to take my dog, CP3, the NBA's premier offensive genius, frankly.
Russell Wilson back there in the pocket.
More or less, honestly. Same physical ability. And, I mean, obviously, had he trained in football his whole life, same mental ability, I would say.
All right, you got another one.
And then this is my homer pick. So I'm going to do it regardless. At running RB1, I'm going to take Kyle Lowry. And if you guys really want to know why, and it's a little lame, He's got the running back body. He's got the nice broad shoulders. He's got, if you browse the r/Toronto Raptors subreddit, you'll certainly have heard about it, the thick booty that you need to be a good running back. And yeah, I'm a big fan of his in general, and the way that he drives the lane and stuff really inspires running back quality in me.
All right, man, I like it. I'm going to go with John Wall as my running back.
Not cool.
Wow.
He's got a lot of quickness. He's super athletic. And as opposed to a lot of the other guys that I would choose for running back position, he's got a little bit more meat on him. So I like John Wall, their running back position. Matty, you got two, man.
Yeah, so I'm going to take Donovan Mitchell at running back.
Woo!
And then I'm going to take Kevin Durant at wide receiver.
Boo.
Cool. Have him on my list, but all right, we'll pick another one.
All right. For mine, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to take – man, this is hard when it gets down here.
Right?
I'm going to take Kawhi Leonard at wide receiver.
Ooh, I like it.
The man has frying pan hands. He's going to be my Jarvis Landry, getting every catch that he possibly can.
I'm going to leave the Jarvis Landry comments alone because he did have a great game the other day. But
you got two, Stu.
All right. Wide receiver one. And this is going to be, if you're an NBA fan, you're going to think I'm crazy. But I'm going to take Willie Cauley-Stein, wide receiver one. And the reason for that is if you're doubting me, I want you to go ahead, hit up Google, and look up Willie Cauley-Stein wide receiver highlights. Because he played wide receiver in college and really set ball and a pretty good athlete and playing wide out.
He played in high school.
Yes, for – I believe it's some high school in Hawaii. I'm not actually.
Yeah, fun fact on Willie Cauley-Stein, he didn't actually start playing basketball until his senior year of high school.
Which is when you about how he a player is roughly 100% insane.
Yeah.
I would say.
Coach Cal actually offered him after watching a football game.
And then for my RB2, I'm going to go ahead and take Eric Bledsoe.
Ooh.
Because I can't think of another player in the NBA who I look at other than LeBron and think, geez, they should be playing football outside of Eric Bledsoe.
That's fair. I like the BBM pick, and you spelled Bledsoe wrong in the doc, by the way.
Well, you can get out of my face.
All right. Man, I'm going to take – I'm just going to take this just so I can have him. Actually, no, I'm going to take him because I feel like he's going to be taken by another position. I'm going to go ahead and take a kicker in the sixth round here. I'm going to take Draymond Green. All right, Maddie, you get the next two.
You know, you really want to just leave you alone on that? And, like, not say that you just basically had a Roberto Aguayo pick and say, okay, whatever. It's fine.
Well, I mean, you know he's good at kicking, so.
Daggone.
I mean, there's no person who would ever say that Draymond Green can't kick balls very well.
And hard. So going from Draymond's foot to a human being, I'm going to take Steven Adams at tight end.
No!
Very good pick.
Oh, that's who I almost took. Dang it. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, because you know he's going to be able to box out and get and receive in the red zone, and he's going to be a monster in the blocking game. So I like him. And then I want to take Colin Sexton at backup quarterback.
Ooh.
Interesting.
All right. It's getting hard for me. You took my tight end pick, and I'm very, very upset about it. For my tight end, I'm going to go with Andre Drummond. He's a big guy. He's athletic. He's wide, so he can block a little bit. No. Changing my pick. Blake Griffin, his teammate.
Griffin's way softer than Drummond. That's all I'm going to say about that.
I know Stu loves that pick. I think Blake's got a – he's going to have some Gronk-like plays out there. That's all I'm going to say. All right, go ahead, Stu. You got two.
My two picks? I can already hear the chirps coming in online. My quarterback two is maybe small quarterback position, but I want Isaiah Thomas. I think he ran an offense okay, and I think he's stupidly fast, so he can get you some extra yards as a running quarterback. Fingers crossed. We'll see. He's my backup, so it's whatever. And then my RB3, I'm shocked that he's been up until here, is Kemba Walker, who I think you watch him play. He's got the shiftiness. He's got the moves. A great, great athletic translation from point guard to running back, in my opinion.
All right, so you got Darren Sproles at your backup quarterback. That's good to know. For my next running back spot, I'm going to take Victor Oladipo. Again, just like Wall, he's a little shifty. He's got a little bit more power than Wall, I like to think. He's got a little bit more size on Wall. I like Victor Oladipo at that spot. Maddie, you got two, man.
Yeah. I am going to take Aaron Gordon at wide receiver.
Ooh.
I like that pick.
Yeah, his catch radius would probably be insane. He can jump out the building.
6'8", yeah, I'm into that.
Yeah, and then I'm going to take Kyrie Irving as a backup running back.
No!
Maddie. Yeah, I was actually thinking when I took Isaiah Thomas there, I was like, what am I doing? Good pick.
Maddie stole my cheat sheet, man. I keep taking my picks. All right. I've got to regroup now. That was going to be my pick. Give me DeMar DeRozan as my backup running back. And I'm just going to leave it there.
Well, type a little sad face in there on the Google Doc because yep. That doesn't feel good that you've done that. Outside of that, let me grab James Harden as my wide receiver, as an Antonio Brown type.
And hey, man.
I'm gonna take another wide receiver because kickers are kickers and they're not really even football players. So we're going to – I can really just take whoever there. And instead of that, let me grab Porzingis for my last wide receiver because I just feel like there's some really good defensive backs in the NFL. But 7'3" is pretty hard to defend.
He's going to get broken though, man.
He's up. He'll be fine.
All right. For my my last receiver spot, I'm going to take Joel Embiid.
You were talking about he's going to get broken, but okay.
He's got the size. He's got some athleticism. And you know that man's going to have some great touchdown celebrations. Maddie, you got two to end it out on your team, man.
So, I need a goal line back. So, I'm going to take Boban Marjanovic.
Oh, God.
That's a big goal line back.
And then, for kicker, I'm going to take Steph Curry because you know he's good from deep for three. So,
excellent. Excellent call.
Hey, that is good. For my backup quarterback, I've gone back and forth on this, but I'm assuming this is a keeper league, so I'm thinking future. I'm going to go with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander just because he's got some quickness. He can make some people miss, and also he's got some good passing ability. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Shai with the thought that he's going to be my quarterback of the future. And he's BBN, so you know.
All right, and that leaves me with my kicker pick. And I can't believe this guy has been missed up until this point. I'm scrolling through. I really can't see him. So I'm going to take Klay Thompson as my kicker because that guy's whole NBA career is sniping set shots. So I feel that carries over pretty well. into being an NFL kicker. Fingers crossed, obviously.
Can we just talk about how all three of us have a Warrior player for our kicker?
Yeah.
I didn't notice that until now. I don't feel super good about that. I really wish that had somebody else.
Why wow.
Cousins for my kicker. Oh, no.
Oh, gosh. Too soon. All right, guys, one more time. Our team. Mine is Russell Westbrook, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, quarterback, John Wall, Victor Oladipo, DeRozan at running back, Anthony Davis, Kawhi Leonard, Joel Embiid at receiver, Blake Griffin at tight end, and Draymond Green at kicker. Stu's got Chris Paul, Isaiah Thomas, quarterback, Kyle Lowry, Eric Bledsoe, Kemba Walker, running backs, small running backs, James Harden, Willie Cauley-Stein, Porzingis at receiver, LeBron at tight end, and Klay Thompson as kicker, with Matty Moles, with a couple Cavs at quarterback, with Kevin Love and Colin Sexton, Donovan Mitchell, Kyrie Irving, and Boban Marjanovic at running back, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Kevin Durant, Aaron Gordon at wide receiver, Adams at tight end, and Curry at kicker. Let us know who you think has the best NBA football team. I feel pretty confident in my team.
I mean, yeah, I don't want to besmirch own squad because I feel like that's a title winning team. That said, and this hurts me physically to say, I think Matty Mullis probably has the best squad. I said Marjanovic at quarterback, which is running back, which I understand why he did, but is insane. But outside of that, I'd watch that team. That team would be exciting as hell.
All right.
Thanks, man.
Got your back.
You got Stu Gardner's seal of approval.
That means a lot, so I take it. And if you guys need help building your fantasy team this weekend, just give me a listen, and we'll all end up in the money together.
The segue.
It's been said many times, and I just want to say, I thought I could live without Matty Mullis after this move by fantasy team. I cannot. So if you were listening to this and you're like, no, I'll be fine, you won't be. You got to listen.
You gotta I'm just glad you threw in the caveat about it being in relation to your fantasy team.
My fantasy team is horrible. It is a mess.
All right, boys. It is time for our favorite player of each NBA team segment. We got behind a week ago, so we did four last week. Maddie, you missed out on some fun teams, so why don't you go ahead and pick us a number? We're going to do two today.
We're going to do two? Why don't we go 17?
17, he said. Now, we did Milwaukee Bucks last week. Try again.
15.
Memphis Grizzlies. I don't believe we've done Memphis Grizzlies yet, so go ahead and get us started, my man.
And this is just your favorite player in general on the team.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go with I'm honestly, you know, hindsight is 20/20 on a player, but I said before that the guy was going to be a star and I was obviously wrong, so I'll die on this hill. But Chandler Parsons, obviously he's not worth his salary. Obviously he's been a major letdown with health issues. Mm-hmm. But if this dude doesn't steadily get hurt, I mean, the sky was the limit for what he could have done. And I really want to see a healthy Chandler Parsons and see what he can do over the course of a season. So I'm going to go with him.
All right. Solid pick.
Steve. And I'll keep it free for y'all to take the two guys that actually matter on this team.
Oh, I assure you, I probably will not. Go ahead, Stu, what you got?
I was going to say, I'm also not going to take the guy, I think I will. Although I do like Chandler Parsons, I really want to believe that he's got more than one up until now. That said, as has been the tradition, I'm going to take the Canadian on the team. And that is my dog, Dylan Brooks, who is currently the star of the Canadian national team. He's a great shooter from outside. He can create his own shot. Y'all just wait. Dylan Brooks is about to make some noise in the NBA.
I tell you what, he's got a great name if he's got anything.
an exceptional NBA name, no question.
All right. Well, I said I wasn't going to go with him, but he's there, so I guess I got to go with him. I'm going Mike Conley. And honestly, the reason I'm going Mike Conley is if there's ever a player that emulates the way I play, it is Mike Conley. He's a guy who can hit the three when he needs to. He's a guy who's a distributor, a playmaker, and he's a guy that can lock in defensively. And he's also a guy that does not get technical fouls called. And, you know, that Russell Westbrook's my favorite player, so that's a poor reflection of how I play. But, yeah, I would say Mike Conley just because he's a reflection of my basketball gameplay.
So, D-Hunt, I'm just going to say, with that comparison, when I make it down to Kentucky.
Oh, God.
I'm going to keep that in mind. That's all.
Listen, I tried to say we'd be on the same team, but you're talking the smack. I gotta put the locks on you.
All right. Let's do team two.
All right, Stu. Well, hey, you're talking, man. Why don't you pick one?
Let me do 12.
12, he says. Indiana Pacers.
Ooh.
All right, Stu, go ahead, man.
Oh, man, am I glad you let me go first. I'm going to do – I don't know if I've even mentioned it on Stat Chasers, but so my college team is the Gonzaga Bulldogs because they're great and they are a mid-tier team that constantly makes it late in the tournament, and they are exceptional. And Mark Few is a great coach. And you're going to hear way more of that once the college season starts. It's going to be kind of disgusting if you're not into Gonzaga. Regardless, Domantas Sabonis on the Indiana Pacers, whew, I think OKC's biggest mistake post-Harden trade was letting Sabonis go. And that's going to be correct in the next couple of years.
Hey, I like Sabonis. I thought he was going to be a great player for the Thunder. Actually, he led the team in three-point percentage in his rookie year. So that was interesting because that is not how he plays in Indiana now.
It's 0% how he played in Gonzaga either, which I found very interesting.
Yeah, I mean that just speaks on his versatility. Also, he looks like dead on, like my buddy Zach Harmon. So, yeah, Sabonis is a good pick. I like Sabonis. Maddie, go ahead with yours, man. Oh, sorry, Stu, go ahead.
I'm just gonna spit it in the straightest way possible. Sabonis, super good looking guy, which I feel like helps your basketball career. So, that's
My wife just entered the room, and that was one of the first things she heard you say. So Chelsea's giggling over here.
Ask Chelsea if I'm right, though.
I can't answer that question.
Smart woman.
Yes, that's clearly a yes.
All right, Maddie, go ahead. Let's change the subject.
So, I guess I won't go with another guy who may be decent looking in Doug McDermott. I'm probably going to go with Tyreek the Freak Evans, a guy who was a borderline all-star last year. I like the nasty that he plays with. No moment is too big for him. And he's not going to back down from anyone. And I think that's just the background that he grew up in. So I like the fact that he gets to bring that to Indiana when clearly that's the one thing that they were lacking last year in the playoffs. And because he's on their team means they're going to be a very tough out. So I like Tyreek the Freak Evans.
Can I interject briefly on a Tyreek Evans? Not a rant, a positive rant.
Since you asked that.
How many guys can you name who had a Evans where they really shone and they really look great and they continue to work on their game as hard as Tyreek Evans has. Mentality wise, he's one of my favorite guys in the league in that he got that early recognition and he kept working hard, which is very admirable to me.
Yeah, I can't think of anybody off the top of my head. Maddie, you got anybody you can think of?
Mm-mm. And I mean, he did it while getting drafted for Sacramento. So that also has to speak volumes.
Obviously a dumpster fire, like from the day he got drafted to the day he left. Like it was a total mess.
Oh, let's see here. Yeah, I was just looking at the former Rookie of the Year winners. I guess you could say Mike Miller was kind of like that.
Semi, but I think Miller established himself as a role player. And I think Evans has gone beyond that to he can be your third option with current play style on a championship team, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's fair. All right, mine, and, you know, this is going to be as cliche as I'll get out, but it is Victor Oladipo. Yeah, hot take alert, right? No, you can ask Chelsea now that she's in here.
You also think he's a good-looking guy?
Oh, my gosh. Prior to the trades, my favorite shooting guard in the league was Victor Oladipo. My favorite small forward in the league was Paul George. And we had them both on our team just at different times, so... I'm super bummed that he's not at OKC anymore. Would I do the trade again? Absolutely. But he's balling out there in Indiana. He gave the Cavs all that they could handle in the playoffs last year. He was most improved player. You know, they talked about a little bit on Down to Dunk today how, you know, how bad of an organization Orlando must be that Victor Oladipo was like, oh, I learned how to work out. I learned how to prepare and rehab from Russell Westbrook, and I've been playing for the Magic for like 4 years, and I'm just now learning that. So,
Dave Hunt, if I can just chime in, I'm just going to say that's real hurtful when I was talking about how Dave Hunt is their shooting coach. So, listen, I understand what you're saying, but, you know.
Hey, I didn't say nothing about shooting. I said about, like, you know, preparation, rehab, off-season workout, stuff like that. So, that's my guy, man. Vic's my guy, and, you know, he's doing big things in Indiana, and I see no reason why he won't continue to do big things. So, as we move on from our favorite players, I think we're about halfway done with those. So, we're working our way through it. We got a... end this podcast like we end any podcast, and that is with Would You Rather NBA Edition. This one comes from me, and this is actually...
Ooh, our favorite listener.
Oh, absolutely, right? I'll go ahead and read the question, then I'll tell you what it stems from. So, would you rather watch your team freely with the possibility that they win the title for only 1 year, so that's basically just a normal season, or not watch a single game all season, but they're guaranteed a title? I have to say that I put this in here because my uncle decided last year not to watch a single NFL game for reasons I'm sure you could probably understand, or you could probably gather. But his team was the Philadelphia Eagles. So while he wasn't watching an NFL game, the Eagles – obviously won the Super Bowl championship. So, what's your guys' take on this?
Stupid.
Okay. You're Maddie, not talking you about go, the Maddie, political you gotta go side. Ahead here.
I mean, I feel like I can go on a rant, but...
Not the political side.
Not the portion. I already did my rant.
There's absolutely no way that I don't watch every possible game the Denver Broncos play. Right, as far as football goes, or the Oklahoma City Thunder for basketball. I mean, what's the point of being a fan and having a team if you're not going to watch them? I know you play to win the game and you want to win the title, but like winning the title, you don't get to partake in that joy if you're not watching them win it. And you didn't go through the ups and the downs of a season up until that point. So, you know, some people may say, well, you're not a true fan. No, I think you're not a true fan if that's the way that you would go out. I mean, maybe you're a Golden State Warriors fan, right? Ooh. And that could be how you live your life. But that's not how I choose to live mine. And so I absolutely wouldn't. I wouldn't go for the guaranteed title. I would stick it out with my squad all year and let them do the talking for me. So.
All right, Stu Gardner, what's the Canadian have to say?
Well, yeah, I mean, man, I would love I've been a fan of three sports teams since the day I was born, and that is the Miami Dolphins, Lafayette, the Toronto Raptors, and the Toronto Blue Jays. Also the Calgary Flames, but it doesn't really count. It's I'm not really a big hockey guy. So those three teams, none of them has won a championship since I've been alive, which has been really cool. It's been really fun to watch sports with that going on. regardless, and still with that, I would way rather just watch my team play well, fail in the playoffs, than not watch and have them win. Because at the end of the day, you know, I'm a fan, and it's a little, it's in the words of several ex-girlfriends, really. It's a little lame and sad that I love sports as much as I do, but it's part of what I do. It's part of watching the team. Football, basketball, I want to have watched a lot and be invested in it. So, yeah, I'd rather watch and not win the title than not watch and win the title because it won't mean as much to me.
That's like if a tree falls in the woods, does it really make a sound, right?
Precisely. We're very Sun Tzu right now.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to say, first of all, I agree with you guys the same way. I want to experience that. And, you know, things that I follow teams that are so good, I rely on the chance that they could win anyways. But that's besides the point.
Wait, actually, Dylan, just can we put a pause on this? Because you follow teams that are so good, but can you remind our listeners who you're a fan of baseball-wise?
Well, I have an AL and an NL team, so.
Oh, okay.
Don't pull that. Who is your favorite team?
Well, I like the Reds NL, and I like the Yankees AL. So, yeah, there you go.
Okay. Yeah, you big Yankees fan. All right, okay.
Best of both worlds,
man. Basically, all right. Fun.
I gotta play devil's advocate, though. All right. So, just for the interest of would you rather, right? So, let's say, I'm trying to think of a team. Okay, let's say, gosh, I can't think of a single. Okay, we're not even gonna do a hypothetical. I'm just gonna give you an example. All right, so. You know, you guys know I'm a huge Kentucky Wildcats fan, right? So, back in 2012, when we won the national championship, that year, you know, me and my buddies, they would always come to my house and we'd watch the game together. You know, we'd hit a game and, you know, we'd be on a shooting slump or something. And one of my buddies, Pat Jones, shout out Pat Jones, one of my best friends, he'd just go outside and start shooting basketball. And eventually, my mom would go out there, and they'd just start playing horse. And lo and behold, you know, we'd finally stop with our shooting slump. We'd start to go on a little bit of a run. And then after a little while, Pat would come back in there, and he'd see that we're doing good. And as soon as we miss a shot, he'd just run back outside and start shooting hoops. So I can see why you would do it for the good of your team. But again, I want to experience it and bet on the chance that my team's going to do it anyways.
I feel it, and I love it. I also feel the superstition in that with the Dolphins this year, I was wearing my Brandon Marshall jersey when we won after 7 hours of football the other day. I was still wearing my Brandon Marshall jersey, and so that's not coming off all year. I totally understand it.
To include in between games. So it's going to be really nice smelling at the end of the season. But hey.
A lot of my friends are like, why are you still wearing that jersey? And I'm like, listen, you guys better remember when it's basically fused to my skin. Yeah.
All right, boys. Well, we talked a little bit about everything. We didn't get to include some of our other segments, but they will make a return the following week. Boys, we're 2 weeks from training camp. Things are about to get real exciting. So,
can I just say, who is ready for the NBA to restart. It has been way too long.
100%. Hold on. Hang on. Chelsea, you ready for the NBA season?
No.
Okay.
Okay, first of all, Chelsea, get out of here. You got to be real.
All right, but no, for real, yeah, it's going to be an exciting, you know, next few months. These next couple weeks are going to drag by, but keep it locked here. We will be talking all things NBA. Maddie, go ahead and plug your stuff, man.
Yeah.
You haven't already enough.
So you can find me on Twitter at Maddie Mulls Pod. That's MattyMulls Pod. You can also find me on Anchor and several other podcast distribution sites. Again, Maddie Mulls Pod. I specialize on sports news with a fantasy twist, and my specialty is fantasy football. Again, plugging it, the numbers are real. I have over $40,000 in career earnings, and I plan on that number increasing exponentially. And I would love to take you guys on for the ride with me. So, yeah, look me up, hit me up with any questions, and we'll go make that money.
So what I'm hearing here, Stu, is Maddie wants to share his winnings with us. Is that what you heard?
No, I'm going to teach you how to fish. You don't get my fish, but I'll teach you how to fish for yourself.
All right. Stu, go ahead and plug your stuff, man.
You guys have been listening. You already know. It's a Northern Connect 2 with the T-I-O-N replaced just with a 2. At the end of that, you can thank Twitter's somebody stole the Northern Connection with the T-I-O-N. Doesn't post at all. I've double-checked it. So, you know, hit up Twitter. Let them know to change it. And it's come the start of the NBA season. I'm going to be doing Raptors news with a sprinkling NBA news. Up until then, follow Maddie. Don't listen to me on fantasy sports news because my team is a disaster. So, you know, just facts for y'all.
Yes, Stu, I know that our listeners probably know your Twitter handle. I just have to make sure that you still know it.
Honestly, it's a struggle, and I'm glad that you keep checking me out.
Hey, I just got to get you trained for when the season starts.
It's within the next 2 weeks, I'm going to start posting some cat photos because I live alone. I live with a cat, and so you guys can assume how sad that is. But we're very close, so I'm going to be posting a lot of cat photos coming up.
Hey, you're a male cat lady. It's fine.
I think it's just a cat man. Let's not, you know, come in too hard on me. But yes, so, me and my darling furry girl, whose name is Paris, and she'll be featured more and more on the podcast as we go on because I'm just trying to – I'm trying to lull you guys into a false sense of security. But, yeah, we'll be doing my own podcast. I'll be on here. Instagram and stuff, I'll be more and more active. But for now, pay attention to Maddie because he is a fantasy genius. And pay attention to Dylan because he is the hardest hustler and one of the, in my opinion, best minds in sports right now. It's surprising.
Jeez.
Thank you, really, Bob. No, that's I am ecstatic to be working with these two guys. So you guys, please check out their stuff, and check out mine afterwards if you feel the need. But it's hit these guys first, please.
Man, Stu's getting me all emotional over here.
I know.
Promo girl, I got your back.
That's my teammate, man.
That's my teammate.
All right. But you can follow my stuff. I'm not even going to tell you my personal because I don't even tweet from there anymore. Just follow me on Twitter at ThunderChats, spelled like it sounds. No spaces, no underscores. Just follow me there. I'll be posting polls, Thunder news, interact with everybody, and my ThunderChats podcast, which, you know, it's been a little slow, but, you know, with training camp coming up, the jersey dropping, everything happening, I will be posting more frequently. In the meantime, you can listen to the aforementioned podcast with Stephen Dolan talking about the Luther Schreuder article and a whole slew of other Thunder stuff. I also want to plug the website that I'm now a contributor of. Now it's thunderbasketball.com. I published my first article a couple weeks ago, and I got another one coming out. Well, you all will hear this on Tuesday morning. So right now, you can go to NavisThunderBasketball.com and read 10 things you didn't know about Nerlens Noel. So be on the lookout for that. And
hold on. I have one more.
Uh-oh.
I had a plug, Chasers, on if you're listening and you haven't given us a 5-star review, please do, because for us, it's a business help. You know, it helps us climb the charts, get advertisers, and, you know, get more listeners. And it costs you nothing. And we put a lot of research into this, and we do our best. So we would love for more people to be recognizing it and listening to it.
Absolutely. Also,
on Anchor, we have there's a subscription feature. If you guys want to do 99 cents, $1.99, $2.99, etc. It's all available on there, and it's not. Hopefully, if you like our content, we would love that. If it's fiscally not possible for you, we totally get that. Just please keep listening and keeping us up with anybody who listens. We're a big fan of. And the other thing, we haven't mentioned this before, but if we say something, we do something that you guys have an issue with, you guys have an argument with, hit us up, and we'll talk about it next episode. We'll have a little chat. We'll get into a big fight for you on air. So listen to that.
All right, and one more time, if you guys have any questions that you want to ask the Stat Chasers podcast, you can do so on the Anchor app. Just leave a voice message, and you will be featured on Holla.
Yep. Or Twitter. Hit us up on Twitter, and we'll give you a holla. One of us will read it out, and it will sound kind of weird and awkward because it'll be one of us reading it out. But, you know, outside of that, it'll be more or less the same.
All right. Well, fellas, it's been a good time, but it's bedtime now. So, Maddie, tell them adios.
Adios.
And Stu, tell them arrivederci.
Arrivederci, boys and girls.
All right. Y'all have a great night. God bless. Remember, the chase is on.